everyone. Welcome to More Than Fashion, the SNR podcast. I'm your host, Erica Capobianco. I'm the Student Communications Director of Marist Fashion's 35th Annual Silver Needle Runway. But trust me when I say we're so much more than just a fashion show. We understand that from an outsider's perspective, fashion is oftentimes seen as superficial. But with the help of some very special industry professional guests, we're delving into a whole new side of fashion you've never seen before. And we can't wait to share it with you. Everyone, welcome back to More Than Fashion, the SNR podcast. Today we have yet another incredible guest, Dan Pontellier, who is a sustainability advocate and the author of the new guide, From Trash to Runway, Upcycling Menswear into Unique Pieces. Dan has been a teacher and consultant in sustainability and marketing for the hospitality and fashion industries for almost 15 years. His entrance into the fashion industry was quite accidental, as it came about while he was beginning his journey to pursue his PhD, but found that he wanted to research and provide accessibility to sustainability within the realm of fashion and lifestyle, which is why he created his first blog, The Sustainable Man. Just back in January, he launched his first book that dives into how you can actually upcycle your entire wardrobe, even if you've never held a thread and needle in your hand before. From the moment I met Dan and when we sat down to record this episode, I knew that More Than Fashion listeners were in for a super fun conversation just because of Dan's passion, his personality, maybe the fact that he speaks French and Spanish, and is just such a positive light. And if you've seen his social media, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But as you'll hear, Dan's story truly is something so beautiful and so inspiring and so moving that I was even getting choked up to hear about how he transformed a moment of such tragedy in his life into something so beautiful, and to pursue his passion, which is fashion. I'm so excited for you all to hear this episode. So without further ado, let's get into the conversation.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for joining me on the More Than Fashion podcast. It's so great to be chatting with you today.
Thanks to you, Erica, and thank you for reaching out. It's amazing to be part of this.
Absolutely. We're so lucky to have you. So I'm going to kick off today's episode with a fun little segment that I like to call illusion versus reality. So I'm going to give you a generalization about fashion and sustainability, and you're going to tell me whether or not it's an illusion, so something false or not entirely true, or reality, meaning something that you've personally experienced within your career. So feel free to elaborate on any of these answers. And with that said, are you ready to get started?
Yes, I am. Perfect.
Perfect. So the first one that I have for you is the concern for sustainability within fashion is a fairly new concept.
Illusion. Elaborating on that, we've been working in the industry of fashion with sustainability for a long time. There are many brands that are doing amazing things in manufacturing and applying sustainability to every one of the different steps that they have in their chain of production. And even being sourcing sustainably, you know, with fabrics and everything that they use. So we can say that sustainability in the fashion industry is becoming mainstream nowadays. So it's fairly new if we consider what is mainstream to the everyday population, let's say. Nevertheless, the knowledge has been there for years.
Definitely. And I like what you said about talking about it being mainstream, because it's definitely taken form of being, you know, a big industry buzzword these past couple of years. But I also think that
finally, like you said,
yes, finally, I think a lot of consumers, I think a lot of consumers are also, you know, becoming hyper aware of it as well. So it's just kind of showing how much, you know, the sustainability movement has really evolved. So on a similar note, the next one I have for you is achieving zero waste is unrealistic and cannot be achieved by anyone.
This question, this statement, it's a little bit difficult. So I'm going to say illusion, because I don't like the words never, always, because it's not true. So I know some small brands. What I think is difficult is to escalate a brand and being be able to be zero waste constantly in everything that you are producing. But I know a lot of small brands, starting by mine, and some others in France, in Spain, and they are zero waste because they reduce, recycle everything that they have. And even though they cannot, if some fabrics are too short that they cannot apply to creating outfits, they will give a second use to that fabric. There are even collaborations between brands and big factories where they are able to recycle fabrics that cannot be used anymore into new recycled fabric that can be used for new garments. So it's a little bit tricky to reply to say illusion or reality. So I'm going to risk it and say illusion because I think that somehow it is possible to do.
It's definitely a very complex, you know, concept and subject matter, but I loved kind of hearing your perspective on it to say that it is being done and it is possible, but it's definitely more complex.
Tricky.
But yes, very yes. Tricky. Speaking of buzzwords, the next one that I have for you is redoing your wardrobe from scratch is achievable through upcycling.
Reality. And I'm living proof of that. I never like to throw anything away of the things that I own because I thought it was not ethical that people wasn't able to wear, to buy garments. And we in the, let's say, first world were throwing things away. And I always had that kind of philosophy or way of living, maybe due to the fact that I'm coming from a really low income family and everything that I had was handovers. And I really respect products and things that we own. So it's important to give clothes, for example, the value that they have. Coming back to the question of if it's possible to upcycle your wardrobe, for sure, you have creativity. Even if you don't use it, all human beings, we have creativity. We only need to know how to boost it. If we like fashion, we will be able to do that. Because if we have the taste or we know who we are, how do we like to wear, it is possible to do something like that. And I also teach people on how to do that in case they hesitate at the beginning and they don't know how to do it. So reality.
And we'll definitely kind of continue to talk about upcycling in our discussion, especially when we start talking about your book and an exciting new venture you have. But before we get into all of that, I'd love to kind of go back to the beginning of your career, because you've had over 15 years of experience working in sustainability and marketing within the hospitality industry. Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you've been working in fashion, honestly. But you're now pivoting into the fashion industry. So can you kind of tell our listeners, and again, you were kind of talking about this with your upbringing, but what specifically drew you to learning about sustainability and working to better its practices within the hospitality and fashion industry?
Actually, to be honest, it was really unexpected. When I was hearing the word sustainability in that moment, I always linked it to a meadow with cows all around there. So it wasn't like really the feel of what sustainability was. I remember that I was working in a hotel and I needed a second master to have enough credits in order to start my PhD. So I said, okay, I need something online. And I found this master about sustainability and information and communications technologies applied to tourism. So I did, okay, I'm going to do that. And actually I started to do that master and I flipped out. So all my beliefs and everything that I knew that or thought actually that was correct, it was not. I started to see the reality of the impact that different industries have in environment, in society, in the development of culture and economy on different areas of the world. And I was actually gobsmacked. That was the reason that made me actually move and quit the hotel that I was working in because I was in the field of marketing. And I left after my first year studying that master. I did it in a couple of years. And I quitting the hotel 1 month afterwards, the Barcelona Hotel Association contacted me to work for them. So I was managing afterwards 450 hotels in sustainability issues. And it was the best experience ever to be able to share the knowledge that I had from my previous studies, the degree in tourism and my master in hotel management. I was able to link that to the new knowledge that I got with sustainability. So I was able to actually improve the footprint of the industry.
That's so incredible to hear. And it's really fascinating. I think that a lot of people kind of have that awakening to the realities of, you know, how, again, various industries, every industry impacts our environment. So the fact that you were able to really take that and want to spread your knowledge and create changes is so inspiring. So go ahead.
The thing that happened is that I was studying and I was like, okay, wait for a second. I can work on things that are going to improve the world that I live in. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I know that it's like really, it might sound ignorant, but I was so focused in my industry that I forgot about everything else. So when I saw that, I was like, wait, I cannot keep working as a marketing manager. I mean, I need to do something else. I need to work on something, use my abilities in marketing and everything that I have to do something positive. So that's why determined that I said, okay, I quit this and I'm going to move to sustainability directly. So yeah.
And that's
best
amazing.
Movement ever.
Yeah. So. No, you're good. It's really amazing to kind of hear, you know, when you start to realize that, you know, your role in what you play in these industries, you know, can be so much bigger. You have the potential to create so much change. I'd love to kind of hear more about what made you want to pivot specifically into the fashion industry. And what that process has been like for you personally?
I've always loved fashion since a very young age. I actually remember that when my mother had these fashion magazines home, I was checking them out and everything. And where I was living, let's say it was not the more fashionable area in the world. So I always tended to find it somewhere else. So I always was a big fan of fashion. But when I decided to study, due to the fact that, well, I was coming from a low income family, I said, okay, I have to do something that actually gives me the income that I need in order to develop my life and keep on studying. So I did tourism because actually I spoke in that moment four languages. So I said, okay, tourism is going to be like the best option. And I studied a couple more of languages and I was working on there. But finally, you decide that what actually is needed in your life is to do whatever you like to do. And even though I love hospitality and I love to keep on working with hotels, that's the reason why I founded the European Sustainable Hospitality Club. That doesn't mean that I'm going to dedicate my whole life to that, because fashion, it's the passion that I have and it fuels me much more than hospitality. Sorry, hotels, I love you anyway, but you know, so yeah, that's the reason why I changed. Actually, this on a personal note, my parents passed away, and it was in that moment when I realized, I said, no, I need to move on and keep doing whatever I really want to do. What I want to do is fashion. And I know that my parents will be proud of you that I make this switch and I move to something that I've always said since I was a kid. I love it. I love it. I love it. So that was the reason why.
That's so beautiful to kind of hear that. You know, that you wanted to do and pursue that passion, you know, just when crazy and unfortunate moments in our lives kind of make us, you know, look at the big picture, but
yes.
to kind of expand on that passion, back in 2016, you started your first blog, sustainableman.com, that kind of combined your expertise. Yes. In sustainable fashion, lifestyle and travel. What sort of inspired you to start that journey as, I guess, a content creator? And how do you think that impacted your overall career and entry into fashion?
So I'm going to tell you this, linking it to the past story. You remember I told you that I was doing the second master because I wanted to start my PhD?
Yes.
So I started my PhD and I didn't like at all. I didn't like what I saw. So there was too many things going on, too many people investigating on the same thing. And I didn't want to be investigating something that is going to take 5 years to go to the world, because I see that this connection that there are between the academic world and the industries in general. I saw that this connection in hospitality, and sometimes I see the same in fashion also. So what I wanted to do actually is I had a need to share the things that I was learning. So that's the reason why I created this this blog. And I, in that moment, I wanted to start to write and research about the things that were really interesting to me and that I thought that were really interesting for the population in general. It's really fancy to write scientific articles with words that nobody understands, but at the end of the day, that doesn't make any sense because what we need is people to understand what we're talking about. I know that might sound a little bit rough and might ruffle some feathers, but for me, it's my reality. And that's what I think. Scientific world focuses too much on academy and scientists and scientific world, but not so much in the everyday normal people that need to understand and need to have more awareness about the issue that we're facing in different industries. And for example, in terms of sustainability, among others, obviously.
And it's really incredible and extremely admirable to see, you know, people like you have used your online presence and to talk about these larger issues and to find a way again to present that content in a meaningful, authentic, and again, accessible way. Because I think at the end of the day, we want to just make people aware of, you know, the larger issue. And, you know, sometimes if you add in the extra scientific jargon, it doesn't resonate with people. But I would say, you know, kind of continuing on and talking about other changes in your career, aside from starting your blog as a passion project just a few months ago, you released your first book, From Trash to Runway, Upcycling Menswear into Unique Pieces. And in that book, you tackle five main issues and provide tactile ways as to why and how we can upcycle our clothes. So after working and studying sustainability for over a decade, what sort of inspired you to write this book and to educate people in that format?
Precisely this need of sharing information is the main thing that moved me to do this book. Actually, as I said before, my parents passed away. And in that moment, I had a lot of clothes that belonged to them. I didn't want to throw them away because first of all, sustainability issues. Second or first, because it's a memento of them. But at the same time, I was not going to wear that kind of stuff because it needed a little bit of reworking, let's say. So that's the moment when, due to my passion to fashion, I said, I need to do something with that. I need to upcycle. I need to create something new out of this. We've always in our house, we've done this. My mother was a seamstress. She was doing a lot of things all the time. She did my carnival disguises and costumes and all the things. So it's something that I learned somehow from her to refurbish things in order to create new things out of old ones. And actually, I decided to write the book because sometimes in the internet, things get lost. There is an overload of information that difficult sometimes to find easy information about how to do things, and you can get lost easily in a lot of stuff. So I wanted to create like an easy guide for people to be able to discover which kind of items were cluttering their wardrobe and what they could do with them. And what I did was actually show my first, let's say, upcycled collection. It was old clothes from my parents. And I put up all the works together and I created the book with all the notes that I gave to my seamstress, because in that moment I didn't know how to sew. Now I sew, but at least I do it a little bit. And that was the reason why it took me, I don't know, around 3 months to come with the idea of the book. And I did it super quick, actually. I auto-published the book myself because it's a practical guide. It's not why, it's a how. You know, it's more a how to do it. How can you look for stuff in your wardrobe to say, okay, I'm going to change this or transform this jacket into this vest or this sweater into these pants. Anything work.
And works. I definitely want to talk more about the, I guess, your first upcycle collection later, but I'd love to kind of learn more about a couple of your other sections in your book, because again, I think that you also offer a lot of, you know, background knowledge about the sustainable movement in the Fight for Fashion section. But you also kind of offer something, again, that tangible guide in the design process and the creation process sections, where you walk, again, readers through how to upcycle their clothes. So yes. I'd love to know how you went about those, creating those two sections more in depth. And, you know, did you approach it with the intention for somebody who has that design experience, or did you keep in mind, again, the everyday person?
Again, the everyday person. I mean, I had no idea at all of what I was doing when I started doing that. And I wanted to share that same vision to the everyday person. You know, like, you actually don't need to know what you are actually doing at the beginning, but you need to have the main point. What I do with these two chapters actually is I show them that they can do design, they can be creative, but then they have to readapt what they have to the fabric that they have on the garments that they want to adapt. So they have to be adaptive. And that's the main point of upcycling, that you have to adapt the designs all the time. And sometimes you cannot go to the with the first idea that you had, because maybe the fabric is not enough. Maybe you need to add another garment in order to be able to finish. So it's easy, it's not complicated, but it has many steps that you need to consider. And that's what I wanted to do with this book guide. Also, at the end of the book, there is a QR code, and there is a digital area where people can find more resources, more designs, and more information about designing and sewing and everything. I mean, I'm not an expert, and maybe one day I will be an expert, but right now I'm not. And I want to share with the people that even if you're not an expert, even if you don't work in the fashion industry, you can do the same thing that I did. Why? Because we are the same. We are able to do the same whenever we put passion into something that we do.
And I love how accessible you've made this book. I personally have no sewing talent abilities or anything like that, but I feel like it's really great when you have these guides that, again, not just the language and how you're presenting the content is accessible, but also just the tools in having people, you know, get involved, because I think that a lot of people would kind of see upcycling as, you know, maybe something intimidating or something, you know, that like I don't have the skills for. But again, I really loved what you said about bringing in your passion and that being the drive for how you can achieve upcycling your wardrobe.
Even if you don't have the skills like to sew yourself, that's the reason why I created another part, a digital area where there is like a database of seamstresses all around the world. Because there may be someone near you that is able to help you. And on the same note, you're helping local economy. You're giving a boost to your local economy. So don't be afraid if you don't know how to sew, if you've never seen a sewing machine in your life. This is one, by the way, in case you want to know. And so this is something that you don't have to be scared of. Just think about the outcome. Think about what you want to construct. Think about the design and share your idea with someone that is able to do something. I learned one phrase, or I don't know how you call it in English, that says you don't need to know how to do that, but you need to know the person who knows how to do that.
And I'd love to... It honestly, it is that easy, but I'd love to know, how did you go about researching the seamstresses? And can you talk about maybe the certain countries or cities that you specifically found to create that more expert guide at the end of the book?
Actually, it was a little bit complicated and tricky to be able to find local seamstresses, but I did like a little expansion plan, let's say, and I started with Europe. So I started to select the 2-3 more important cities in every country. And from that, I started to enlarge the list more and more. So I was looking for them online, in social media, in platforms that share contact from people that do individual works and everything. So it was a long search, But it was nice. And not only seamstress, also reclaimed fabric stores and secondhand clothing stores also. It's important to buy things that we already have and not create something new.
And shopping local and sourcing local is, you know, a whole other part of the sustainable movement that I think people sometimes don't realize that it's connected. It's more than just, you know, recycling. It's also, you know, supporting small and supporting local as well. And that's something that's something that we do here with the Silver Needle Runway. We love to work with local vendors and small businesses, especially after the year that we've had with COVID and honestly, just finding more ways to give back to our community and creating, you know, a show that, you know, can be accessible to that community as well. I'd love to kind of talk more about, thank you. I'd love to talk about more of the process of creating your book, specifically with your 20 upcycled designs that you include.
Yeah.
Can you talk more about what that experience was like for you? And how did you go about curating that first upcycled collection?
It was funny. Seriously, it was super funny. I had the time of my life. What I was doing is like rethinking pieces that already exist into new ones. So for example, I converted a shirt from my father, a long striped shirt, into some pants. I have some pictures in my Instagram. I converted a skirt also into a vest. So I look at the piece and I start to think about the stuff. I don't know, maybe it's just because I have pushed so much of my creativity during the last years that it comes along. It's like, okay, I'm gonna do best. Why? I don't know. It's just the piece is telling me I want to be a best. So I'm gonna do what the piece is telling me to do. So it's not like I follow a plan, or I usually don't have to change actually that many of my designs from the original idea to the finished idea, because I also buy, like, let's say, secondhand clothes in stores like in Goodwill, actually. Goodwill or Goodwill?
Goodwill.
Okay, sorry, I'm Spanish. So that's what I do. I try to add some pieces or elements inside of the garment that I'm creating from other pieces in case I don't have fabric enough from the original one. But it's actually, it's a very funny process. If you're thinking on what you want to wear, if you're a fan of things, what I always recommend is to save in your phone, in your Instagram, in your social media, in whatever, do screenshots, and then create a folder in a cloud and just put there all the inspiration of things that you've seen with time. And then, I mean, actually have this, and I never check that folder because it's like those designs can come to my mind directly, but in case at the beginning you don't know how to exactly do it, let's do that. Try to put those pictures inside of a folder, save them on Instagram in a specific folder or something, so that way will be easier whenever you want to reconstruct something. Let's say, okay, I'm gonna take a look at things that I've saved, and afterwards when you look at the piece, you say, okay, now I know what I want.
And inspiration can honestly come anywhere, so I think that's such a good way to kind of, you know, take screenshots and to almost create a little digital mood board, if you will, and, you know, finding inspiration from there. But I love what you were saying about how you can really see the pieces and, you know, just feel like they're speaking for themselves in how you want to upcycle them. Can you describe to our listeners which of the 20 that you've made that you think is your favorite to the best of your ability?
I mean, I wouldn't be able to decide on just one, but I love a pant that I did that is one of the easiest designs. I had a green checkered scarf, like classic green checkered scarf, and I turned it into a summer pant with a fringe on the sides. And I love it, that design. Everybody loved that design. And another one, it's a shirt that I created out of an old shirt and with excess fabric, also red excess fabric that I found. And I created the shirt made with rivets on the sleeves and on the sides, just so you can actually detach the whole piece and wear only this part as a vest, or, well, like a sleeveless shirt, or the whole shirt, however you want it. So these are the two pieces that I like the most, let's say. But after the book, I did some more that I'm starting to add to the digital area. So now there are more recent pieces that I like more.
And speaking of some of those newer designs and kind of tying back into our conversation about, you know, having an online platform, particularly yes. as a creative and as an entrepreneur, I'd love to talk about one of your recent TikToks that went viral, and it featured an upcycled suit, and viewers really wanted to know how they could buy those pieces. And correct me if I'm wrong, but that inspired you to want to start to sell your own collection, DP the label. What can everyone kind of expect from your line and this upcoming launch?
Plus, I was going to start to talk in Spanish. So what they can expect is actually differentiation and uniqueness due to the fact that I work with other garments that were already created. It is complicated to find two pieces that are the same. So I know that sometimes people in my TikTok, there are a couple of them that have become viral. So people is like, I want that exact suit. And I'm trying to tell them, like, I mean, the exact one. I mean, if you have this size, it would be possible. Otherwise, it's going to be complicated because it's one piece, you know, usually it's one piece. It's complicated to find more than one. So I think it's actually quite original, and you will find never someone that is wearing the same thing that you are wearing. For now, then escalating the brand, let's say that we don't know what can happen in the future. Maybe I'm able to do a little bit more of each piece, but it's going to be always really, really narrow, the amount of pieces per garment that are going to be created.
I love that. It's one of one, you know, and you're like you said, you're never going to have to worry about walking across the street and seeing someone wearing the same shirt as you. I know, literally the four.
Even though
of it.
That means that they have good taste.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That means they have good taste. Well, I, for one, am so excited to kind of see how your label evolves. And I know listeners are probably already looking up your TikTok and kind of scrolling through and seeing you. all your amazing pieces, but
they have to scroll a lot to find the viral TikTok. I've been going crazy publishing things there.
Oh my gosh, I love your TikTok. It's so much fun. I literally was scrolling through it and I'm like, I love it. It's so fun.
I have so much fun doing them.
Oh yeah, that's what it's for. It's for, yeah, you know, just to kind of
disconnecting and be weird and be funny. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Absolutely. To kind of share with our listeners right before we wrap up, where can they connect with you? Where can they find your book? And where can they find more updates about your upcoming label?
Sure, of course. They can follow me in any social media. My handle is The Pontarlier, so they can find me there. And also my website, www.danpontarlier.com. So all the information will be there. They can find the book there. There is a new website coming up for the brand, but it's not created yet. So keep calm and we'll do it. we'll show
Stay
it.
Stay tuned.
So yeah, exactly. Stay tuned.
All right. Thank you, Dan. This was so much fun. Thank you so much.
Thanks to you, Erica. It was amazing to be with you.
Thank you so much for listening to More Than Fashion, the SNR podcast. If you like this episode, be sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review and follow at Silver Needle Runway on all platforms for all More Than Fashion podcast updates. Talk to you all soon.